I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to the show, you guys. I am so excited about today's guest. They are friends. They are entrepreneurs. They are people I look up to. I look up to them because they are changing baby food for the better. They have set out on a mission to provide healthier food for babies. And they did that out of their own stories, healing themselves through food, and then ultimately deciding and seeing that there was a hole in the market and the availability for healthy baby food out on the market didn't exist. Serenity and Joe Carr are the co-founders of the family-owned and operated Serenity Kids Baby Food Company. And after healing their own health problems by eliminating sugars and processed foods, they set out to change the baby food industry, and they have. So many baby foods are deficient in protein, high in grains and processed sugars, and lacking brain-healthy fat. But Serenity Kids is not one of them. And after getting to know Joe and Serenity, I knew I had to get involved. So I am so excited to invite them on the show. Since meeting them, I've become an investor. It's the only baby food pouch company and processed food that Bash eats, and I don't think it's processed. I personally have eaten the Roots pouch a number of times. So it tastes like a sweet potato fry if you'd like to try it. But in a pinch, it's healthy pasture-raised proteins, healthy fats, and veggies. And so I want to bring them on the show. I want you to get to know them. So you guys, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We're thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
We're big fans too. We listen to your show a lot. So
awesome. Oh, good. I'm so glad. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? Because this all started with your own health issues. How did it all start?
Yeah. So first of all, Della is napping at the moment and we don't have childcare. So one of us may pop off. So we'll just make the transition smooth. But in general, my story begins when I was 2 weeks old. So I had my first ear infection when I was a 2-week-old baby and my first round of antibiotics. and, you know, repeat that multiple times a year throughout my childhood. I ate a lot of gross, junky food from the 80s, you know, Cheese Whiz and chicken and a biscuit crackers for dinner and all that kind of thing. And we didn't know then what I know now, which is that I don't tolerate wheat or dairy very well. And so I just kept getting sick and kept getting on antibiotics, which eventually led to leaky gut. You know, I remember being 9 years old and laying on my very cool waterbed.
Oh my God. So cool.
But doubled over in pain. And I was like, oh, you know, my belly hurts again. And I had just seen a commercial for like Miralax or Mylanta or Pepto-Bismol or something. And I'm like, Mom, can I get some medicine for this? Like, this is becoming a big problem. You know, I'm really in a lot of pain here. And she's like, oh, honey, you know, those things, they don't really work. There's no need for that. You know, you're a little kid. Like, this is just how things are. And I remember thinking, oh, this is how things are. I guess stomachs are just supposed to hurt. Yeah. You know, which was kind of a sad little realization that I just kind of filed away in my mind that this is just how life was. And so fast forward, you know, I started taking lots of antacids and things, and I ignored my mom's advice and took all of the things starting when I was about a teenager. And when I was 33, I had a doctor put me on a pill that she said I had to take very dramatically every day for the rest of your life. And I'm kind of glad she said it so dramatically, because it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, I've been taking like Pepcid or something every day for the last 20 years, almost. Wow. And I don't want to live like this, you know, but I just couldn't eat any food. I mean, at that point it was severe. I could barely eat anything without a lot of pain. And I didn't know what to do. My dad's a shrink. I called him, he calms me down. And so I'm like, Dad, what do I do? You know, this doctor gave me a pill to take every day for the rest of my life, and I'm only 33. Like, that doesn't seem right. And he said, you know, you should read that book I gave you last year for Christmas, the one on the paleo diet. And I'm like, oh my God, what book? You know, I hadn't read it. He gives me dumb dad books all the time. And yeah. Learn myself, you know? But he had been doing the paleo diet for about a year, and I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. You know, this was years ago. And I'm like, eat like a caveman. Are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, but I was desperate. And so I just read even just the intro. I read, actually it was Mark Sisson's book, The Primal Kitchen.
Yeah.
And I also read Rob Wolf's book, and you know, just the intro, just the part about anthropology really intrigued me. And I was like, oh, duh, that kind of makes sense. You know, all this processed stuff isn't really what our bodies kind of are supposed to eat. And so I don't have to take that pill every day anymore. I don't take any pills every day anymore, except maybe, you know, some magnesium or something every now and then.
Yeah.
And I quit my Fortune 500 job career and everything to start teaching other people how to change their lives with food instead of with medicine.
When I met Joe. So you were working a corporate job, and then you left to be a health coach.
Yeah, I did.
And were you coaching people to be paleo because it helped you?
Well, it was paleo, but with a spiritual bent. So it was really about like how to learn how to listen to this part of your body instead of like I'm motioning to my stomach and my stomach and like my whole body. Taste buds, because you know, hyperpalatable foods trick your brain, like, and trick your taste buds into thinking that you want more of that thing. But that's just kind of a fake engineered, you know, fast foody kind of taste. It's not a real thing. It's not real food.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's that dopamine hit that we're giving ourselves. It's our first drug as a kid. You mentioned chicken and chicken and a biscuit crackers. I remember those. I remember Cheese Whiz. I think my mom had like rolls and rolls of Ritz at our house.
Oh yeah.
All the Costco Triscuits, Wheat Thins, Ritz, animal cookies.
I love those.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect example. Like opening those bags of crackers or chips or having like, you know, a really glutinous pizza covered in cheese, like, of course you're going to want to finish the whole pie. Of course you're going to get halfway through that bag and have a massive stomach ache. I get so heartbroken for kids. I've seen it with Sebastian, like even paleo puffs. Like, we got a bag of paleo puffs and I posted it on Instagram a couple of days ago. He was fully in tears, bottom lip out, like didn't want his chicken, pesto, and broccoli, which he loves and will nom, nom, nom on my videos. And he was fully in tears crying, "Puffs, please Puffs." And I'm like, you know, there is something to be said about anything that is processed, salty, fatty. Like it is not our fault. And the perfect example was like watching him just totally lose it. So, wow. So you were helping people and health coaching. What were you doing before this?
Before this, I was working at Dell helping build servers.
Oh my goodness. So a major departure from your corporate job. Wow. And then how did you two meet?
Well, I basically fell in love with Serenity and fell in love with paleo diet at the same time.
Okay.
I'm autistic and I wasn't diagnosed as a child. But a very difficult childhood, both socially and physically. I had really big energy. And so, you know, my technical diagnosis in college was Asperger's syndrome, which they now know as autism. But yeah. Your stereotype of the Asperger's kid was like quiet and science-y and very awkward. And I was the opposite of that. And there's lots of other autistic people like this that are loud and intense and extroverted and creative and just larger than life kind of people. And was just way too big for a classroom or a kid's social group. Like I just broke everything and made everybody mad, distracted the group from whatever it was doing all the time. And so I, you know, was just punished constantly and was excluded and bullied and, you know, a very difficult time socially. But my mom discovered that my autistic superpower was the performing arts, that big energy was great on stage. I could take over an auditorium, you know, so I became a child actor and was doing professional theater and music and dance and television and videos and commercials and all kinds of stuff. So on stage I was great, but off stage I was a mess. And my stomach hurt all the time, you know, similar to Serenity. I just had constant stomach pain that went to the doctor. They have no idea, you know, what it was. And it just was some combination of anxiety and food sensitivities. We know autism and food sensitivity is really connected. And I lived on canned ravioli at Chef Boyardee Ravioli. Loved that stuff. And nachos. Like that was what I ate.
Basically. Yeah.
I loved dill pickles. That was like the only vegetable I ate were pickles. And like, you know, that was what I ate. And so, you know, imagine what my stomach hurt and, you know, dairy and gluten and corn.
You used to eat milkshakes for breakfast in high school.
In high school, I figured out I used ice cream. It was literally ice cream and sometimes espresso. Was like my breakfast in high school.
Wow. You know what's crazy is my mom used to drive us through McDonald's on the way to school when I was in junior high, and my sisters would get pancakes and I didn't like them. So my mom would get me a vanilla milkshake. So we were actually the same there. I used to have vanilla milkshakes for breakfast too. It's crazy to me how disconnected our parents were with what was nutritious. And what nutrient-dense foods look like. And everything was like processed from a bag, from a drive-thru. Wow. So how did you start to, was it when you met Serenity that you started to realize that you could feel better? Or did you clean up your diet before then?
You know, really it started when I was 12 in middle school. This semi-popular girl, who I'm sure I was annoying, said, "I'm going to teach you how to be cool. You know, me and my friends, we're going to teach you how to be cool." Instead of being mean to me, she decided to like take me under her wing. And I was like, "I will do whatever you say. I'm so ready to be cool. I'm so ready to have friends." And I learned the most important lesson of my life, which was that I could change and become better, that I could take feedback from others and become a better version of myself and be constantly improving. So I was on this personal growth track from age 12, always looking for ways to be better and better. And then in high school, that turned into that I could also change the world. That it wasn't just me I could change, but I could actually have an impact in people around me, and became an activist and really into service and very politically conscious on how we can make a better world. And so I've always been looking for ways to improve myself, improve the world, and diet, you know, became a part of that pretty late. You know, I've focused on changing the world for a really long time and ignored my health. Until I was emotional and physical wreck at about age 28, and then started learning mindfulness practices and different kinds of personal growth stuff that diet just started to peek its head in. And I've tried a variety of diets. I'd tried veganism, which of course did not work at all. I tried some low, I did a candida cleanse. I tried the GAPS diet. So I sort of knew that grains and carbs were not necessary, like that I could be full and live pretty well without them, but it was really hard. You know, so I wasn't really committed to that. I had discovered gluten and it was completely gluten-free and did my best to avoid lactose because it just hurt my stomach so much. Like I can't eat ice cream without it hurting, you know? Yeah. So like, I learned it hurts when I do it. I still probably did it occasionally. So I was on that track when I met Serenity, but she really, the paleo the understanding of like an optimal human diet, that was what really appealed to me. Like if I want to be my best self, what is the fully premium fuel that I could run on? And that was really the paleo diet. Was like meat and veggies is key. All this other stuff is crap. You don't need it. It's taking up space in your stomach that nutritious food could take. So that really appealed to me and changing that really. And then she found substitution. She figured out how I could eat nachos with plantain chips.
It's my superpower.
Yeah.
Taking like junk food, comfort foods and figuring out how to transition that with, more real food ingredients. So that's my good work.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So what year was it when you guys met and sort of really solidified this paleo diet for your family?
Yeah, we met in 2015 and then we started dating in early 2016. And then
it was a year. It's hard to remember. We started the company in late 2016. So it must've been 2014.
We met in 2014.
Yeah.
Dating in 2015. So the company in 2016.
Yep. And I've always wanted kids. I've always been looking for a woman to have my babies.
And you found a woman to have your babies.
That's basically my dating history was. It didn't work out so well. So, but fortunately, by the time I found Serenity, she was insistent on never having babies.
Yes,
so that was great. So I got to convince her. But once we got really serious and it was clear that our relationship was going to last, like family planning was the first.
Yeah, and so really we were at Paleo FX 2016 when I started getting kind of fuzzy and maternal and I was like, Joe, let's go find the baby stuff.
Yeah.
Started looking around and didn't find anything. I mean, I did find Lindsay Matthews with BirthFit, which was cool. I'm like, hey, do you know where any baby stuff is? And she said, I don't know. There's nothing that I know of. And so I went up to the CEO of PaleoFX and I was like, hey, Michelle, where's the baby stuff? And she said, I ask myself that same question every year.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, shoot, I guess I'll just have to make my own baby food then, But in the meantime, Joe was in the process of trying to come up with a company to start and a product to sell because he had read Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek and realized that services are a little harder to grow, service businesses and product businesses. You can kind of, build them up with a big team to support that. And so he came home from entrepreneurship event here in Austin. There's a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And we've got to start the baby food company. It meets these 5 criteria. We could get investors. We could, there's a white space in the market, like all these things. And I'm like, really? Like start a baby food company? And I had 12 years experience in manufacturing for Fortune 500 companies. So, I knew something about manufacturing at least. And he was really good at sales, which is what he had been doing. So I thought, well, that could work.
Yeah.
And, but I wasn't really sure, what to put in the baby food and how, and what exactly I wanted, because I had been paleo at this point for 6 years, but I had no idea what babies needed. No idea. Maybe they needed to start out with rice cereal and apple juice. I don't know. I mean, those foods didn't work for me, but I wasn't sure about babies. So I really spent the summer of 2016, I call my summer of nerddom.
Yeah.
Spent with like my nose in a book, a blog, listening to podcasts, trying to figure out from a myriad of sources. I read the USDA's Guide to Infant Nutrition and Feeding. There's a lot of different perspectives I took. And it took me about a month. And then I realized, wait a second, there already is a perfect baby food out there. And it's mother's milk.
Yeah.
So then I launched into a big study of mother's milk. I dragged Joe to the Austin Milk Bank which is the biggest milk bank in the country, and helps premature babies survive with donated milk from moms. So that's just a plug for donating your milk, moms. Don't throw those stashes away from the freezer. You can find babies that need it. And started learning a lot about mother's milk, and learned that, you know, the calories from mother's milk are about half carbs, half fat, with a little protein. It varies widely, right? But in general. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, if I can, you know, find a baby food that looks like that, that would be, you know, logically transitioning from mother's milk to this kind of macronutrient profile.
Yeah.
Seemed like a reasonable assumption that it would be an okay thing. And so we looked on the baby food aisle, and it was, you know, not that. It was mostly carbs, like 95% carbs.
Yeah. What were some of the, you don't need to name names here, but like, what were some of the blends you were seeing out there? And like, what, like when you really started diving into it, where were the products on the market? Like, what were they missing? What were you looking for and couldn't find?
So at first it took me months to admit or realize that there really was nothing that I wanted on the market, because, you know, I would go to the store or I would look online and I would see, oh, here's this super veggies. It's got a picture of Lolly's veggies on the front. Sweet. This is one that I could feed my kid. And I turn it over on the back and the first ingredient is apple, and it has 11 grams of sugar, which, you know, it might not sound like a lot, 11 grams, but if you're translating that from a 15 pound baby to a 150 pound adult, you just add a zero. And that's 110 grams of sugar that you're having for breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not okay.
Yeah.
And then I started, you know, so we did a study, actually. We hired a VA to look at 265 organic baby food pouches on the market.
Made this whole spreadsheet.
We made this huge, big spreadsheet, because I'm like, I've got to figure this out. You know, sorry.
Yeah. I love your passion, because I'm right there with you.
Right?
I'm right there with you. Like, I can tell you, even like I was using babies' cookbooks, whether that's like Weston Price or Super Nutrition for Babies, and I was getting all these baby food books before Bash was born. Like, oh, I'm going to make, you know, bone broth and stews, and I'm going to, like, his first food will be egg yolks or avocados. And I'm thinking about, like, how I'm going to introduce foods based on enzymes that are present in their body at the time and what they're able and used to breaking down. And it is amazing to me, because the minute you hit the shelves and you start to look, you're like, oh, it's just all sugar.
All sugar. I mean, it, you know, and then I started getting just furious, frankly, because if I thought about my journey, right? If I hadn't been such a sick kid and such a sick adult, then I wouldn't have learned what I learned about nutrition. And if I had just had a baby, like any normal person just went and had a baby, and then they go to the baby food aisle and their baby's 6 months old, and then they would think, oh, well, this is of course what I should feed my baby, because it's what's on the aisle.
Right.
You know, and if I hadn't gone through that traumatic experience to know better,
right,
I would be feeding my baby all that junk food right now. So many parents are. They don't know.
They don't know better, yeah.
They just don't know.
Yeah.
And really, I started getting angry for the babies.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any say in what they eat.
And they can't tell you if their tummy's hurt. They can cry, but like a lot of times we don't know how our children feel until they're old enough to articulate it. And even when they're old enough to articulate it, they really don't know what's going on. Okay, I don't want to steal your thunder. Go back to the study. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, let me drop the stats.
All right, Joe loves doing
these. Were disturbing to me. Like, so they had the average organic baby food pouch. These are the organic. Looked at the organic, like high-end brands. We didn't look at Gerber and all those, right? We
just
looked at really high-end brands. Average 9 grams of sugar per pouch on average. You know, so like somebody said, that's 90 grams for the equivalent to one of us. And this is this one pouch. So kids are eating 2, 3, 4 of these a day. It's like a Snickers bar. Less than 1% had 2 grams or more of fat. So almost no fat. I mean, functionally zero fat on the aisle. The teeny bits that were there was from dairy, occasionally some avocado, but mostly dairy.
Mac and cheese puree.
Yeah, or whatever, right? Stuff that is not great fat, but is, you know, but almost no fat. Babies need 30 grams of fat a day. So zero fat on the aisle is very disturbing. It's all sugar, no fat. Less than 4% had meat. And, you know, we know meat is a key first food, most nutrient-dense food, but less than 4%. None of that meat was well-sourced. So all the sourcing of that 4% was CAFOs, you know, these feedlots, organic feedlots, basically. So no pasture raised, no grass fed, no humane certification, none of that stuff. It was overwhelmingly sweet, like the sugary taste. It's like by far sweet, or the few savory blends were gross. Like they tasted bad. The few that had meat, you know, they mixed it with grain or corn or
pears,
or legumes.
You know, weird stuff.
You know, as fillers because it's cheaper. And like they're trying to price the meat ones the same price as these fruit purees. So they like fill it with rice and you know, lentils and beans and things that just are low nutrition and cheap. And it causes a taste bad because you have no fat and you have a meat grain puree with no fat and no salt. No good flavors. Like it's just nasty. So it's like, and so of course moms don't buy it. And then these companies keep making more and more sweet foods because they're like, well, we make savory ones and nobody likes them.
Right.
Gross. You didn't put good stuff.
The kids want the 11 grams of sugar in the apple puree, and that's what they're asking for. And then that's what their palate is primed to eat. That's what they're craving.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, the flavor window opens, you know, as soon as babies start eating initial foods around, you know, 5-6 months and goes for the first about 18 months. So whatever you feed a baby during that time frame, you know, studies show that in cultures that eat a lot more spicy foods, those babies eat really spicy foods, like way spicier than I could tolerate. And so, you know, it's really important to get a variety of flavors, different spices, different textures, lots and lots of savory stuff into your kids, lots of greens. In fact, a lot of bitter tastes are also missing from the baby food aisle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that that's one of the problems with our eating today is that we didn't get introduced to those varieties of flavors and different textures and spices and things. And we all, you know, I'm a sugar addict and, you know, it's been a really hard challenge my whole life. And so, I mean, that's my, you know, my big mission here is to find a way to fewer sugar addicts be roaming around the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's interesting what you were able to uncover during this study. And I think it's really scary to me, the lack of fat and the excess sugar. But even just thinking about the fat piece in general, like having a pouch or a convenient food for babies last in their bodies, like slow the digestion of that food, make the nutrients, all those fat-soluble vitamins, all those phytochemicals bioavailable in their body. It's just not happening without the fat. And if, you know, I can think in my head certain people whose kids like really exclusively eat pouches at a certain age and they just don't want to eat anything else. And they get used to that texture and they like those pouches. And I'm so thankful to you guys to know that like your sourcing and your fats are healthy fats, and the vegetables out there contain things like, you know, you guys are using kale and spinach and those bitter greens to allow children to have that taste and open up their palate to those flavors. How did you, can you talk a little bit about each of the blends or the, you know, like the types of food that you've created? And because I think they're the perfect majority of them are a protein, a fat, and a vegetable. And that's my like, you're hitting my Fab Four buckets because I'm just like, these kids are getting all the healthy amino acids that they need. They're getting the healthy fat to absorb their fat soluble vitamins and phytochemicals. They're getting a really good source of fiber, and they're getting those leafy greens that are known to like really protect the fatty structures of our body, like our brain. So like when you first started out to create these blends, were like, what was it like?
Well, you know, so after I started realizing that I wanted to mimic the macronutrient profile of breast milk, that's really where we started. Okay. And so I thought, well, you know what? What if these foods don't exist on the market because babies won't eat them? So I got really worried. And I remember I called Joe from my part-time job on the way home, and I'm like, Joe, we need to get some of this food. We need to like make some and get babies to start tasting it.
Yeah.
So we spent just a ton of effort to puree our own purees, put it in those little squeezy things you can buy on Amazon. You like fill your own pouches and deliver it to friends. And I will never forget, my friend Camille sent me a picture of her kid eating the chicken pea and carrot blend that we make today. And she said, it was a picture of him with the pouch. And she said, he ate the whole thing and wouldn't give me the pouch back because he liked it so much. and I cried because I was like, okay, babies, we're on, right? And I'm like, so it's you know, if you can swap out sugar for fat, that works. Mm-hmm. So I realized that, you know, in that moment that was going to work. And so really what we did was we looked at a bunch of different meat sources. So we knew we wanted to get the highest quality meat because that's the highest quality nutrition. I mean, and you get the added bonus, you know, a bonus of saving the planet and everything. But for my baby, you know, I want the most nutritious thing. And so we figured out how to get, it took us a long time actually to find the meat sources. And then really it was, you have to have the right consistency to make it work on the production line in the factory to pump. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we wanted a significant amount of carbs, because if you think about mother's milk, about half carbs, about half fat, a little bit of protein. And so we knew we wanted to search for the most nutrient dense starchy veggies. And so that's where we started. And we, for some of the meats that were a little harder to buy, you know, the fattier cuts of, we decided to supplement with really healthy oils like olive and avocado. And so really it was taking a look at the macronutrient profile, coming up with a variety of blends, and then sending them out to our friends. I mean, we were driving all around town with coolers of little pouches, and I'm like, you got to eat these in 3 days, because, you know, it's pureed meat. You can't just keep it forever or freeze it, you know, right away. Yeah. And we would have the surveys, and I couldn't figure out how to survey babies, you know, like, how do you find out what babies like? So I figured out it was two questions per flavor, and it's what was baby's reaction, and then what is the parent's reaction? And, you know, my favorite ones are like, baby took a sip, made a funny face, and spit it out. Or, you know, took a drink, grabbed the pouch and wouldn't let go. Or, and so what we did was we took those surveys and we let those babies be our focus group and taste testers. And we made the flavors they liked best. Chicken pea and carrot was actually the number one. We didn't have any babies that did not like that one. And it's our best seller today.
Wow. Well, I feel like it's what we grew up on. It's a very traditional flavor profile. And, you know, I think some people are afraid of red meats and some people are afraid of porks. And for some reason, the last 20 or 30 years of nutrition, people think lean cuts of chicken, rice, and like a salad. And that's like the traditional healthy American meal. So it would make sense to me that that would be your number one seller. But I'd love for you to get into the sourcing that you do for your proteins, because I know your bacon pouch is like one of Bash's favorites and it smells like bacon in the morning. It's just crazy. But I know other friends of mine who are like, yeah, I'm not going to give my kid that. But I just don't think they understand what's going in. So can you explain where you source your pork and the process of like making these blends with?
Yeah, well, you know, my mom grew up on a small family farm in southern Missouri. So I grew up visiting them, seeing that lifestyle. They had all kinds of different animals and crops. And I got to see the harmonious lifestyle they live connected to the land, but also the enormous economic struggles that they dealt with competing with these huge factory farms. So, you know, when we started looking for meat sources, we knew that pasture-raised meats were nutritionally superior. So just from a nutrition profile, you know, what if you raise animals the way you feed them, what they were meant to be fed, their meat has what we were meant to be fed, you know, the nutrition passes on. So we already knew that much, but then I, you know, realized that I'd really love to support family farms like my grandparents, you know, because they're a way to have these pasture-raised farms, but also, you know, be able to support small folks. And so we just went on a hunt for that, put the word out and got connected to these co-ops of family farmers that are specifically following pasture-raised guidelines, so creating the most natural life for the animal, a life that mimics the way they would behave in nature, which creates better nutrition for the animal. It is much better for the land, as regenerating the soil. So a lot of these farmers are practicing regenerative agriculture, which means they're using animals to improve the land, because animals have always been a part of ecosystems, and pulling the animals off is one of the things that's led to climate change and this devastation. So meat gets a bad rap for being bad for the environment because these factory farms and CAFOs are awful for the environment. But if you put animals in harmony with nature and you let them roam and live in the way they're meant to, they improve the soil, they reduce runoff, They sequester carbon and thus are much more profitable in the long run for a farmer because their land's getting better. They can raise more and more, plus the nutrition's superior. But of course, it's more expensive to do this. Like, you can't raise millions and millions of animals this way and sell it for the cheapest rock bottom prices. So these farmers, you know, they're mostly farmers, they're not good marketers. So they join together to find the one of them that's like the best marketer to like sell their meat to people like us. And we got connected with them partially through the founders of Epic Bar, Taylor and Katie, became early stage advisors for us. They're in Austin also. And they were 6 months pregnant when we approached them, and they just sold Epic to General Mills. So they had a little free time, and they had built a business like we wanted to. That was ethical meat sourcing, very nutrient dense, and they knew this space. So they advised us a lot on supply chain and really taught us about regenerative agriculture and how my bigger missions to improve the planet and to make the world better for farmers, and also Serenity's, you know, nutrition and food mission, and you know, both of our commitment to children was all together. Basically, we can make the planet better and make babies healthier, and in between, create a better life for farmers, animals, families, all through this little baby food pouch.
Well, the question about bacon is a good one, because, you know, that was it's a risky move, an uncured bacon baby food, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that fat was good, but not all fat was good, right? Mm-hmm. So what kind of fats are the good fats? And really the worst fats are the ones that humans make in factories, you know, the trans fats, the nasty oils, the...
industrial seed oils, anything that's being anything that's being extracted via hexane, which is a chemical that oxidizes that fat.
Gross. Soy, exactly. Canola. Yeah. But I did start getting into some of the Weston A. Price stuff because they're some of the only ones that had actually written on infant nutrition from a perspective that resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, started realizing how important fat was and with my research on mother's milk. And so I was like, you know, pork is a really good fat. I started kind of digging into the difference. So we actually found our pork farmer on Kickstarter because a friend of ours was, I was like, who can find us this? Cause we just couldn't find one.
Pigs. There's not very
we
many.
Couldn't find one. And so we found him on Kickstarter, and he had done a study where he did some omega-3 to omega-6, I don't know, omega
ratios.
Nine ratios. Yeah. And oh, six. And yeah. So pork chop from Walmart had like a really terrible range. And then his pork was the exact inverse. And so, you know, the omega-3 content for his pork is so much higher than the omega-6 and omega-9s. And I realized that we wanted to get more fat on the baby food aisle, and bacon tastes good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't use a ton of bacon per pouch. It's actually a small amount, but the smokiness comes through, and the fattiness comes through for the mouthfeel for those babies. Yeah. And the nutrition is just amazing. I saw like on Yahoo, actually, there was an article a couple months ago about some study in the UK where they figured out the top most nutrient-dense foods, and one of them was fatty pork.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was like, what? This is amazing. Finally, pork and bacon is getting the accolades that it deserves, you know, the one that's raised well, at least.
Yeah, it's all about the sourcing, and it's all about what they've been fed that dictates that nutrient profile in the proteins. And that's one of the reasons why I was so attracted to your company, because it's one thing to have put proteins out on the market on the shelves and baby, you know, for in the baby food aisle, but it's a complete other to really provide. These are the building blocks of their bodies and their brains and everything from you know, their neurons, all of it, like it makes everything. And so to give them the best shot, it really is about what they're eating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you decide, okay, Joey, you obviously went to an entrepreneurial workshop and got all excited about this, but how did you guys go from coolers of Amazon pouches to friends to really launching this brand, and what does the last couple of years look like?
You know, I mean, that meeting we had with Taylor and Katie from Epic Bar was a really important one because we had basically planned to do a paleo niche product. It was like, we're going to do like a paleo, we bought like paleobaby.com. We were going to do like an online only very 4-hour work week, basically, like simple, very easy, outsourceable, like, but also probably pretty low impact. And that was our plan. And then we met with Taylor and Katie, and they were like, this is massive. This is $100 million company. Grocery stores need this. Like, we were
babies,
you know, this is massive. You need to change the baby food out. Like, they were like, we brought meat back to health food. You know, like, they were really the first meat brand to like be in these health food circles. And now there's meat everywhere in health food.
Yeah.
You know, but like, they're like, you need to now do what we did for health food, like to the baby aisle. And we were like, oh, you're right. We should do that.
Retail, like the retail monster was pretty scary. Yeah,
they're like, we'll help you do it. We're like, we don't even know what the bathroom. Don't worry, we'll tell you what to do. And they basically gave us enough information to like run with. And, you know, we started talking to investors, and we brought on like an investment advisor who we found. And
we hired a really, really nice branding consultant to do the artwork on our pouches.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We used Epic's brander, actually, mm-hmm. So that's why our brands look a little similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got connected with a factory that could do larger production and kind of convinced them that we were a good bet. And we just didn't give up. I mean, in the end, it was just a lot of perseverance. There were a lot of barriers, run out of money a lot of times. Production, a lot of production challenges, but everywhere we went, talked about it. I've done a lot of random projects in my life trying to make the world better, and never had I had such a universally loved idea than this one. Like, everybody from food industry experts to your average mom on the street, everybody
who doesn't know anything about nutrition, right?
Everybody was like, that's awesome. That's a great idea. That's really needed. We're going to make $1 million.
That doesn't exist already.
Yeah. People were really surprised. You know? But to have food industry people love it, and like my mom friends love it, like from all that range, was like, there's something really, really honest. So,
and for me, it was all about the babies. You know, every time we had a roadblock, like the first 3 production runs we did all failed, and we had to switch factories. We had to change a lot of things. It was really stressful. It was right before our wedding. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
this is the kind of stuff though that people need to know. I think people see brands like yours or brands like Epic, and they're like, oh wow, they saw the hole in the market. They just made this cool product, and now they're millionaires. But it's like not about that. You have to have so much passion behind your product and what you want, how you want to change the world, or it's never going to happen. Like, you're not going to get through these roadblocks of running out of money and having production failures. Like, give us the bad with the good. Like, what was going on? Like, why didn't that production facility work out for you guys, and what did you end up doing?
Yeah. So we were trying to make a fatty product on equipment that's normally used for fruit. And so I'll tell you exactly what happened. So when you think about the pouch, there's a little straw, and you've got to get the puree to go down through the straw and fill the pouch. Well, some of the puree sometimes gets stuck on the outside of that little spout that the baby's going to eat from. And so the equipment has a water sprayer that rinses it. Well, for the fatty purees, that water spray didn't work.
Yeah.
We had to do a lot of different things with the viscosity, with the fill weight of the pouch. We actually had to get the factory to make custom water sprayers for our products. And I had to send someone, either me or our ops guy, had to go to every production run so that we could make sure that those sprayers, you know, they're like adjusted within millimeters of exactly where they needed to be. So that's one of the, you know, from just a practical perspective, we weren't sure this product was going to work on that equipment. You know, we didn't know. I remember I was 7 months pregnant. I went to the first production run because I wasn't going to miss it. It was, you know, I had to fly and everything. It was a total pain, but I wasn't missing it. And I got there about an hour after they had started, and I saw the lead guy from the factory. He looked at me and he goes, "We're shutting it down." And my heart just because I had just walked in and I was like all sparkly and glowy. Like, I saw the beef pouches going down the line and I was like, oh, my baby's being born. And then he's like, mm-mm, we're shutting it down because there was debris on the spout. And so I was there with my ops guy, who's still with us, who I adore. And we went into the conference room. You know, they're like, we got to work on some of the equipment. And I was like, Mike, are you a religious man? And he's like, yes. I'm like, all right, let's start praying. So, you know, we're sitting there and he's like, all right, I've got every saint, you know, and I'm like, all right, me too, you know. Like, whoever's up there, please support our mission. We're in it for these babies, you know, and I was big with my baby, you know, I'm like, come on, little girl, we can do this, you know? And then a couple hours later, they came back and they said they adjusted the water wash and it's working now. And I'm like, all right, let's get back in there, see if we can keep going, you know? And that was the first time that it worked. And I mean, it felt like a miracle because we had been doing this for 3 years and run up against so many problems. In fact, that run was in June of 2018, the year Della was born. Yeah. And we had done our first run the previous September. So we had been trying and trying and trying to get all of this production to work. And it took a really long time. And
a lot of money.
In fact, when the first factory said, I don't think we can make this product, call these other people. And so I looked at their list. I had already talked to all of those people and they had all said no.
Wow.
And I thought, is this a business? Is this where we end? You know, but yeah. Joe and I, and one of our other business partners, Joe is very determined. He's a great person to have on your side. And so we just got on the phone and for the next 2 weeks, we called everyone we knew in the food industry. And we're like, who knows someone who can help us with operations? Anybody? If you don't know anyone, who else knows? Do you know anyone who might know? I'll call them. Like, we talked to dozens and dozens of people.
We looked at buying our own equipment. Yep. We looked at adding equipment to someone else's factory. I mean, we basically need like USDA organic that can process meat, that can make purees, that can put into a spouted pouch and then make it shelf stable through retort. It was like 10 different pieces of technology that like five factories in the country have. And so we're like, and like Srini said, they were all massive. So when we called them with our idea, they're like, sure, we'll do it for 1 million pouches a year, you know, with these huge contracts. And we're like,
we just wanted to work 4 hours a week.
And so I'm like trying to get creative. How can we makeshift this stuff together? We finally find an expert, which had always been our ethos, was like, ask the experts. We don't know about the food industry. We're passionate, but like, let's just let people tell us how to do it. And we're going to become experts. But in the meantime, just do what people say. And the cool thing about asking experts is if you do what they say, they love giving you more advice. Like, the more advice you take, the more they wanted to give you. And we just kept taking it and getting it, and found a ops expert who ended up going to one of those factories and speaking their language. Yep. And convincing them that we were a good bet for a small test trial thing, which also significantly lowered our pricing, because what they thought was an expensive price was much lower than our previous factory. So, you know, there has been a lot of moments of you know, faith, where we just had to believe that it's going to work and that we were meant to do this. And we put everything into it, $100,000 in credit card debt. Like, we burned our boats, as they say, you know, like that guy invaded the island, ordered them to burn their boats because that way they couldn't retreat. They had to win because they were vastly outnumbered, and they won because they couldn't retreat. So it's sort of like that. We like had to burn our boats and get all the way in and then just trust that it was going to work. And you know, we had so many false starts, and then the products finally launched on the day our baby was born. Like, we went at the same time they went live online.
It was crazy.
I have full body chills right now. Della and Serenity Kids at the same time.
Same day.
So it was like, we'd been trying, you know, for a year, and the products were a year and a half late. Della was 2 weeks early. And coincided on the same day, could never have been planned, but it was just like one of those moments where it's like, okay, all those, you know, it was all designed to be for this day.
That's, I remember, just how it's supposed to be. I was in labor and I looked over at Joe and he's on his phone and I'm like, our product's launched today. Like, okay, handle that stuff. I've got this under control over here, you know, like, it was crazy.
Wow. Did you guys launch? I mean, what was that launch looking like? Was that online from your own website? Did you have any retailers? Like, what?
Just our website. So we had a bunch of pre-orders. We'd been taking pre-orders for almost a year and a half. So we had some really old babies that are like, still, we offer people refunds all throughout, but like, you know,
some didn't get the email or whatever.
So we were taking people's money way too early. But
Don't do that.
Yeah. But like, you know, so we had all these pre-orders that got filled first, and then we went for sale, we went live. So we had some affiliate relationships, and we'd had this kind of online campaign.
And
we
launched with the chicken and the beef first because the bacon kept failing on the production line.
Still too high fat. We did figure the bacon went out a few months later, but we launched with two, August 5th, 2018, mm-hmm. Della's birthday, Serenity Kid's birthday.
And then we came up with the bacon one a couple months later, and then Whole Foods decided to take a risk on us. And they launched 5 flavors in February of 2019. And that was our first like a kind of explosion into the retail market. And I mean, I was, you know, 5 months postpartum or 6 months. And I'm like, I wasn't super involved in all of that part. You know, I'm got this baby over here. Oh, that was also a crazy story. And really like, we couldn't have picked a better partner to launch with. I mean, they have been amazing. Those customers are our people, you know, and they were willing to take a risk on a pricey, kind of weird, slightly gross sounding to most people kind of product.
Yeah.
You know? Double the price of the next most expensive baby.
But it's what parents wanted.
So nothing was more than $1.99 ever. And
nothing included pasture-raised proteins.
So we said, you know, but it's like, it's sort of bad form to increase the price on an aisle like that. So we did a lot of things that we weren't supposed to be allowed to do. Like we weren't supposed to be able to raise capital without a final product and sales. Like we're supposed to have proved the product. That's the rule in the food industry. And we just said, okay, we'll just raise from tech people who raise on ideas all the time. So, you know, we just raise money from outside of that. Like, you know, you're not supposed to be double the price. We just double the price. And we were still one of the top selling baby foods in Whole Foods, even at double the price. And because we're double the price, we make them more money. So it's like a no brainer for retailers at this point, because it's proven that it'll sell. And now we've completely changed the price structure on the aisle. Now there's several other baby foods in between that $1.99 and $3.99 price point that are higher nutrition. There's biodynamic baby food. There's the Sarabellis come out, you know, and those are a little more expensive because it's not just fruit puree. There's actually some good stuff in it.
But no one else has meat like you guys, pasture raised meat. Yeah, it's a little too scary for a year and a half of failed production. They don't want to follow in those footsteps.
And it's not easy. You know, we have to, we can't just send the meat from the farm to the factory. You know, there's steps in between. So it's a more elaborate process. And I mean, we now know why no one else was doing this before, because it was really, really hard.
I'm so thankful that you guys stuck with it. I'm glad you burned your boats, as they say. And I'm really glad that you're providing such a nutrient balanced product, because like when I think about throwing a Serenity Kids pouch in my diaper bag, running to the park with Bash, it's one of those things that's like, it's a staple. You know, he's 18 months old now. I'm a new mom. Obviously Bash was born a couple months after Della. And this is like, it's like the Wild West for me. It's first time doing this. I'm kind of getting to know my routine, and he eats really well. Like he eats real meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But when I think about a kid wants to eat all the time. So I use your Serenity pouches when we run to the park or, you know, in between those meals. And there are not very many like little already prepackaged things that I can bring for him. Like he finally has teeth. So like I'll bring him a chomp stick. And I'm like, my kid's eating a Slim Jim and the moms are staring at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, it's just like a little packet of olives from Thrive Market. Yeah, or like, I just have like a few things that I'll bring for him. And I'm just like so thankful to you guys, because there's really no other way. You know, and I don't want him eating like a ton of those chopsticks either. Like I want to know that like the proteins are cooked the right way and nothing's cured. And like, he's not, you know, that he has that he has balance at snack, because it really is about balancing his blood sugar internally for me, because that dictates a child's mood, you know? So when all these kids have all this sugar and they're on these blood sugar roller coasters and they can't concentrate and they can't focus and they're having meltdowns and the parents don't know why, or they're like really energized at night and lethargic at certain points during the day, like it really has so much to do with their nutrition. And, you know, I can get on my soapbox and talk through my Instagram or whatever, but you guys are making it accessible for people. I'm so thankful for that. Like I can't tell you how much, and obviously I love you so much. I'm like, be on the podcast, tell everyone about your products. Like, it is weird. I get it. Nobody wants to put beef in a pouch, but like, give it to your kid when they can have it, because then they will have that savory palate. Then they will eat proteins. It's a godsend. It really is. So what is next for Serenity Kids?
Yeah. So we've got a lot of different exciting products in the works to like you said, I like how you said, bring balance to snack time. So that's what we're really looking for. You know, as Della gets older, I struggle with the same things. You know, what kinds of snacks can I give her? And what kinds of foods can I make for my growing toddler? And so we're looking at maybe definitely doing some different toddler foods that have the same amazing nutrient density, that have more complex flavor profiles. You know, our initial pouch line is really geared to also be okay for early eaters, right? 6-9 month old babies. These ones are more complex flavors with herbs and with amazing like antioxidant spices. And so you're going to see some exciting stuff like that down the line. And then we're expanding the pouches line for sure. And then we're also looking at some kind of hand to mouth finger foods to come forward maybe in 2021. So that's a longer lead time out there.
That's okay. I'm going to have multiple babies after this. So, so we're on that kid train together, hopefully, and just like, give me all the baby food so I don't have to just always give them olives or something. Yeah. No, I'm like, there is such a hole in the market because, you know, especially I know you guys addressed this really well at the beginning of the year or last year was, you know, the Consumer Reports with all of the heavy metals and baby foods and what was coming out in the market. You know, I look around and everyone's just like giving their kids puffs, and it's rice flour, which is known to be really high in arsenic. And every one of these little pouches are blended with grains, which is, you know, those grains are so good at sequestering heavy metals from the soil. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys tested and what you found in Serenity Kids and the market in general and what's available and why you might have seen that major spike in heavy metals and baby foods?
Yeah. So, I mean, from a heavy metals perspective, I think that our country, and I don't know about science in other countries, but we're just now starting to really figure out that our food source is majorly contaminated with glyphosate, with all different kinds of pesticides, with heavy metals. And we're, you know, as food manufacturers, it's a tricky place to be. There are certain labs that don't test the right limits. I was on a phone call yesterday with a guy from the government who's working to decrease the lead in our food sources in this entire country, like a huge project.
Yeah.
And so they're working on how to certify certain labs to make sure that those labs are detecting the right limits. You know, because if you go to a different lab, like we went to a couple labs first and that we had, you know, different results than we had with more sensitive tests. And so really it's about how do you make the best sourcing decision. So we started testing everything that goes into the production line and then everything that comes out. And so we're figuring out, you know, how do we, it's a delicate dance for how do you mix the different veggies? Because like you said, there are a lot of root vegetables that will absorb a lot of the heavy metals in the soil too. So we buy our olive organic because that's less for sure. But I was asking the guy yesterday, I'm like, why is there lead in our soil? And he said, it comes from back when we used leaded gasoline. And so countries that still use leaded gasoline or just more recently quit using leaded gasoline, they have more lead in their soil. And then crops that are closer to the road have more lead in them versus the crops that are farther from the road. So, you know, they're looking, and we're actually going to participate in their studies by sharing our data with them and the results that we get. You know, he said, hopefully down the line, we'll be able to say, like, if you're going to order some sweet potatoes for baby food in particular, he's, you know, associated with the Baby Food Council, then you want to make sure that you get those sweet potatoes from North Carolina or wherever it is that comes up to have the lowest number of, you know, arsenic, heavy metals, cadmium, all of that. It's a, it's a program we're still in the process of kind of honing. We've decided to adopt the EU standards because the US doesn't have any heavy metal standards right now for what is acceptable in baby food. I mean, I think they do for what, apple juice and...
They're only recommendations. They have recommendations. They don't have laws. Like, we don't have heavy metal laws in this country that say it can only be a certain amount of food or baby food of any kind. So, you know, it's quite disturbing. And the EU has quite established limits that are achievable. They're, you know, like we have a even higher internal standard that's even higher than theirs. It's like, this is what we're aiming for. But the EU is kind of the baseline that we decided to use because the US doesn't really have one. So we're way below the FDA standards, you know, the FDA recommendations, not even standards. And then we're working to be fully in line with the EU standards, which we're really close to. And then partnering with the Clean Label Project.
Yeah, they're great.
Who is who tests for 400 different chemicals, all these ones that Serena is describing, and verifies what you have or don't have, and then works with you to lower it if there is anything. But our first two products with them came a full clean bill of health. The chicken product and the squashes product are two top sellers.
And we are 100%, those products are both glyphosate and phthalate free, which are, she said, those are huge things that parents are really concerned about right now. And so we're going to start telling the story. You know, we're still learning more about how to talk about that kind of thing. But we know that, I mean, you know, as a new parent, I'm really concerned about that. And I'm, you know, when before ours were tested, I was like, I don't even know, like, I don't know what's in there yet. Should I stop feeding them to my kid? You know? Yeah. And so now that we've had them tested, I'm like, okay, I feel good. You know, like I don't have any more worries, but until you do it, you don't know.
Right.
And it's scary.
Well, that's why I know that it's an added cost, I'm sure, to like be a part of the Clean Label Project, but it's those type of associations that hold people accountable and who support you and help you to understand like what you want to avoid and what we want to make sure isn't in our baby's food, because we can only do as well, you know, like it's you need to have the knowledge to do better. And if like you don't have the knowledge or a way of understanding like the testing or whatever it is, it's hard to do better. So can you tell me a little bit about the Clean Label initiative and like what people should be looking for? Is there a stamp on the Serenity pouches that says Clean Label?
Yeah, so we can do a stamp, but later. So, you know, it takes us 3 months to produce new pouches.
Yes.
We're kind of still in the process. In fact, just last week, we hired our first food safety engineer quality manager, because it's just overwhelming with all the, you know, work around here. So she's really working hard to get that started. But the Clean Label Project is basically an organization that you can voluntarily participate in and have them, they don't publish all of your results to everybody, but what they do is they rank you. And so if you are within the top third of the competitors that are making the same type of product, you get what they call the Purity Award. And our first two products that we had tested with them did win the Purity Award. And we're on their website now, which is really, really exciting.
That's amazing.
And so they do a lot of baby food. They do a lot of pet food. They're getting involved in a couple different areas too. They do formula, puffs, pouched baby food, a lot of teething biscuits because they have a lot of rice in them, right? Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think, you know, that it's a pretty new program and we will inevitably feature their logo in different places and other brands will. But it's not something if you go to the store looking for, you're going to find very often. So at this point, it's mostly like sourcing, like just looking for people who are clean sourcing in general, people who are transparent about sourcing are, you know, just means they're more careful about this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We know what ingredients are already high in heavy metals, particularly anything that's not organic. Obviously, you mentioned rice and grains being especially high heavy metals. So kind of avoiding those ingredients helps a lot. And then just getting organic whenever possible is the best you can really do, both because it's not just packaged foods. The food at the, you know, in the produce stand, all if you test it, is grown in the same soil. Like, you know, so it's like tough from a packaged food stance because we can like quantify it and like know exactly what it is, so we can work to get it lower. But the average person buying food at the grocery store, like, you have no idea what's in there.
Not yet. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it. So hopefully this is just the beginning of a revolution, frankly. Yeah. And I'm really excited to be on the forefront.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited you guys are on the forefront. It's been just really fun to watch. And I think you both are really humble, hardworking people. And I'm really, really thankful that you followed your heart and your passion and trusted that you, even if you burned your boats, that God would be there for you.
Yep.
So awesome. Well, anyone listening, full disclosure, I, after meeting Serenity and Joe, invested in Serenity Kids. But I did that because I believe in their mission. And obviously you can tell how excited and passionate I am about their mission. I'm not one to get into baby food. It's not for me. But like, if there's any way that I can get out there and tell people about your product and get moms switching to these pouches versus the sugary pouches on the market, the grain-based pouches on the market, like really like getting their babies a better start is really important to me, just like it is for both of you. So, you know, it's something that I will continue to beat the pavement for you guys, because it's something that I have the ability to do now. And it feels really good. Like, it feels really good because I feel your mission and it's my mission too. And especially having a child and knowing how important that is, I can't thank you guys enough. So if you guys are listening, I have a code with them. It's FAB4, FAB4. We'll put it in the show notes and a link. You get 15% off your orders. And I know people are ordering from home right now with COVID happening. We're doing a lot of online ordering. I'm actually going to pull together a bunch of direct consumer companies I've been purchasing from, and Serenity is one of them. So definitely grab some pouches for your babies. Make snack time balance, for me at least, you know? And if you make a dinner your kid doesn't like, then you can always give them a beef pouch like I do.
They make great kids' snacks, actually. A lot of older children are eating them just as a quick snack,
you
know. Yeah. With the kids at home all day, moms are like, whatever you'll eat, whatever I can hand you while I'm trying to work. And, you know, so they're, and like you said, adults really like them too. So there's lots of uses for our pouches.
Totally. Well, I'm so excited for the line extensions. I'm so excited that it's doing as well as it is. I really like mission-driven company and proud to be a part of it. So thank you guys so much for letting me join the Serenity Kids family and for sharing your story here today. Where can people follow along? Where can they find you?
Yep. We have an awesome website, myserenitykids.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as hashtag myserenitykids. And you can order us on our website or also on Amazon, Thrive Market, all online. And then Whole Foods nationwide and increasingly other local grocery stores.
We have a store locator on our website.
Right.
So you can check it out, see if it's near you.
Perfect. Well, thanks guys. I appreciate your time so much. Oh, and don't forget to go check out their adorable daughter Della on My Serenity Kids. She is the cutest. You better make me more babies.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast. We're thrilled to be able to share our mission with your listeners.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Have an awesome day, and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.